Praise the Lord again, church. You can go ahead and be seated tonight. Tonight is typically Bible study night here at Calvary Gospel Church. Sometimes I preach, sometimes I teach. So tonight is probably going to be a combination of both of those. But I want to take it over the next few weeks leading up to family camp as well as after. I want you to understand that everything we do when it comes to God, our relationship with God, the kingdom of God, is wrapped around really one word, and that would be faith. And I believe that God is seeking to take his church, as he does, I mean, not just this church, but his church. We're on a continual journey of faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you can go through life, you can do as much as you can try to do to make God happy, but without faith, his word tells us that it's impossible to please him. So without faith, I would almost have to add to that, it's impossible to know him. It's impossible to experience him without faith. I spoke earlier this year about a transition that I felt is coming. I just want to let you understand one thing. I believe that his body, this church, is in a constant stage of transitioning. I look at the Old Testament. The Old Testament was one transition after another, transitioned into the New Testament. And there were various times in the New Testament when there were transitions that took place. And I believe that God is transitioning his church, and he is preparing his church. And I want you to listen to me very, very carefully here. The Lord is about to set up, or he's in the process of setting up us as a church, as well as you as an individual, into his end time position, if I could put it that way. We are in the last of days, and I want to tell you tonight, part of this message is an encouragement, and part of it perhaps would be a warning to some, but we need to get ourselves ready because God has been preparing us. He has been preparing you, those who are willing, for a significant upgrade in his kingdom. Now, God is positioning us. He's positioning this church, the individuals in this church, as well as all across the nation, all across the world, in a significant end-time upgrade. Recently, I just bought a pickup truck. It was not brand new truck, but it was a significant upgrade from the 19 or 2000 Chevy truck that I had. I bought a 2016. And although it is not new, it is considerably different when I get in it and I turn it on. It talks to me. When I back up to hook up my trailer, there's a little triangle on there that will line my hitch, which I can see my trailer ball right in the camera, and I can back it right up underneath the trailer. And I don't have to get out five times and look to see if I need to go. Those of you that have backed up trailers know what I'm talking about. I don't have to do that anymore, Brother Dennis, because the truck does it for me. That's a significant upgrade. The other day I got a phone call. It was Rich Thomas, and I look in my dash, and I got a picture of Rich Thomas in my dash. I didn't even know it did that. After I pulled myself out of the ditch, I'm just kidding, I realized that this truck had a whole lot more in it than what I knew about it because it was significantly upgraded. The dash, the air conditioner and the fan, it does it all automatically. I haven't figured that out yet, but if the phone rings, I get text messages, I can get in it, and you can... It's crazy all of the multimedia stuff it has. I haven't figured it all out yet, but it's a significant upgrade. And God is... No, it doesn't do that yet, but it does warm my buns. He asked if it massaged my feet, and I said no. But as my aunt calls them, it's got bun warmers in it, and I'll let you go ahead and follow that one to wherever end you want to go. But nevertheless, so, but we've talked about recently, we've talked about our purpose, why we're here, and what are we to do once we discover why we're here, and seeking to apply that purpose to His will. Thus, I know if I know why I'm here, show me how to apply why I'm here to my life so it aligns with Your will. So I have to trust God, or I have to have faith in God if I've been seeking after that. So we've talked about our purpose, which is why you're here, and then what are we to do when we find out what our purpose is. That's kind of falling into God's will for our lives. His will is kind of like a roadmap that leads us. So tonight I wish to begin this journey building us a foundation in which we can grow into as well as grow from. Now, I'm not trying to take and do a complete Bible study on faith. What I'm trying to do tonight is going to lay a foundation, and we're going to discover as we go upon our journey here, we're going to discover how much faith has to do with our purpose and with following His will and what God has to do for this church. So as I read through the pages of the Word of God, what I see is hundreds, thousands of people who are just like you and who are just like me, who are full of purpose, and they know why they're here, and we watch their journey as they seek as to the following or the seeking after the will of God. They know their purpose, but they don't quite know the why, and we're able to watch them as we follow their journey. And all desire to have a relationship with this Almighty God. It's a God whom we have never seen physically with our own eyes. Perhaps you've never heard His voice in an audible way, yet we have walked with Him and we are entrusting our lives with Him. At times, they could not even speak His name. It was so sacred. And they pursued after this God, and they grew in wisdom and knowledge of Him because their faith grew in Him. You see, that's how we grow. That's how we find out more about God, as we begin to exercise our faith. They went from being called to being commissioned to do His will. And I believe God is in a process of calling us to into commissioning us to do His will. And whatever He has for this church and whatever He has for you as an individual. And this journey is based upon one simple foundational principle that we find in the Word of God. And that is the principle of faith. It's simply, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You can almost say without faith, it's impossible to make God happy. So as we look into this, I'd like to read Hebrews chapter 11. It's considered the faith chapter of the Bible. I think this is such a powerful reading. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For it, by the elders, obtained a good report through faith. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated so that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had a testimony that he pleased God. By faith and pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It was by faith that Noah, being warned of God, God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place that which he should, after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whether he went, but it was by faith he sojourned in a land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and heirs with him of the same promise. He looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And through faith, his wife Sarah also received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful. Faithful, whom had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many of the stars in the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they say much things declare plainly, that they seek a country, and truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But they now desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, where God, therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. How many of you are looking forward to that day for ourselves? And by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac, and had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to rise him up even from the dead, from whence he had also received him in figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, blessed both of his sons, the sons of Joseph, and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. It was by faith that Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel. And it was through this faith and through this commandment concerning his bones, he said, someday, we're going to walk out of here, and I want you to take me along with you on your new faith journey. It was by faith that Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because he saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By that same faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. See, he understood who he was and that he wasn't just there to be a slave, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the repentance of the reward, recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. And through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, essaying to do, were drowned. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they compassed about 7 days. By faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believeth not, when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, and of Jephthah, and David, also Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence with fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yet moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted and slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Without faith, it is impossible. It is impossible to please God. That's a powerful passage of Scripture. Very powerful passage of Scripture. Over the last few weeks, God has been talking to me in a very heavy way. Recently, I shared some of the adventure of our Man Up adventure out in the Black Hills back in early May. I believe that God is looking to take this church to a whole new level of anointing. I want to call it mountaintop anointing. Follow me here tonight. This is not something new to me. It's not something new to us. We've heard about it. We've preached about it. We look at Elijah the prophet on the top of the mountain facing the 450 prophets of Baal. We look at Moses on Mount Sinai as he took the Ten Commandments, and the power of the glory of God was so powerful that they couldn't even look at his face. Jesus was fasting and praying on the mountain, and he defeated the devil with three Old Testament passages of Scripture. The disciples with Jesus on the mountaintop, the Mount of Transfiguration. Perhaps many of us here tonight have had mountaintop experiences. We look at those times in our lives where that we're up high, we're up on the mountain. But on this last trip out west, God spoke to me in a very different kind of a way. First of all, I just want to tell you, I didn't want to go on the trip. I wanted to back out of it. Life has just been very, very busy, been hectic. But I ended up going because I was asked to go, even if I wasn't able to take the hikes. Just come out here and be out here. I'd appreciate it. So I went ahead and went. But it was a struggle for me in a lot of different ways. And I knew that God had something for me. And thus, because he had something for me, that would eventually translate into something for us. Because we're a body. This is why churches need pastors. This is why you need a pastor in your life. You see, I struggled to get there. It was pain, frustration, even defeat, as I was unable to make the last hike due to just physically not being able to. And I struggle with that. I like to challenge myself physically, and I'm just finding out as we get older. I talked with Brother Jeff Rossing the other night. He was asking me how old I was when I started having knee problems. I said, I've had knee problems since I was a kid. My knees have always ached, always given me problems. I don't think that helped him out any. But you see, our bodies wear out, and the struggles become real sometimes. Even in defeat, though, I knew that God was speaking through that defeat. I was being challenged. I felt like I had never been challenged before. And upon my return home, I just want to tell you that you come home from a mountaintop experience, and the first thing that happened was the enemy just jumped all over me. Started with losing my wallet. I shared that story with you. Come to find out it wasn't lost after all, but it just sets the tone. And it doesn't take a whole lot for the enemy to just set our minds into a particular direction, and we just stumble into that direction, and before we know it, we're running wide open, if I could put it that, even though we know that we don't want to. And I knew that my experience up there on the mountain somehow that I was connected in some way to this word about being set and about him positioning this church. And I knew that things were coming to a fruition, and I've talked to the church, as I said, about fall of this year, August, September, a shift. And I stumbled across Isaiah 2:2, and I'm reading of the New King James. It reads, "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted among the hills, and all nations shall flow into it." See, God has called this church. He didn't just call this church. This is our 75th year anniversary being here in Madison, Wisconsin. We'll be celebrating that on our Summer Fun Fest this year. Brother Booker, our district superintendent, has close ties to this church. He was baptized in this church. His uncle was one of the pastors of this church, Brother Johnson. He's going to be speaking for us on our 75th anniversary. But you see, God positioned this church here 75 years ago. He didn't just position it here when you came here. He positioned you here to be a part of what he's seeking to do here. So when I look at this church, I believe that we've entered the time of the release of a mountaintop anointing. Some of you have struggled for a very long time to reach where God is calling you, and that your time of promotion is getting closer and closer and nearer where you can expect God to show up as only God can show up in our lives. You see, we're designed to have a greater made glory move through us than what we have yet seen. God is desiring to use us at levels that we had never imagined. As God begins to set this church and begins to set you into position, you can expect people, your neighbors, your co-workers, people in the grocery stores, people all around to be drawn to it, to flow to it, because the glory of the Lord will be displayed through you because of the level of faith that you're exhibiting within your life. I want to title this series, if I can, because we're going to talk about faith, but we're going to cover a few other areas that are related to faith as well. I want to title this, "What Just Happened? God Showed Up." You ever been someplace and the power of the Holy Ghost was so strong and you look around and you say, "What just happened?" Maybe a camp meeting and the power of the Holy Ghost came over you so strong and God used you in such powerful and prophetic ways, used you in the gifts of the Spirit, used you in ways that you just could only imagine. And you walk out of there and you say, "What in the world just happened?" Let me tell you what just happened. God showed up. God showed up. You see, it is impossible without faith. Is it impossible to please God? And God saw that your faith, your level of faith was strong. And he says, "I'm going to show up because there's faith in the house tonight." You see, it's only a matter of time, church, and we've got to understand this. We live a life in our flesh. If you're here tonight and you think Calvary Gospel Church is a perfect church, I would be the first to tell you that it's not. Why is it not perfect? Well, first of all, its pastor's not perfect. I'll go first in all of this. Brother Larry's not perfect. Sister Jane's not perfect. And I could just keep going around until we mention every last name here. But you see, it's only a matter of time because we live on our flesh, we walk on our flesh, we eat, we sleep, we pray. Now, we can pray in the Spirit. Scripture speaks of that, but we usually don't always start out praying in the Spirit. A lot of times we have to fight our flesh to get to that pray in the Spirit level. We've all been there. But you see, it's a matter of time before we lose a job or we get abused in some way in our lives, or betrayal of a friend, betrayal of somebody at work perhaps. Maybe you have a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Doesn't matter how our lives are at the moment. If we haven't already, we will come face to face with some sort of tragedy that's just going to shake us. Because you see, because of sin in the Garden of Eden, suffering is a common human experience. We all deal with it. Our ability to relate to each other's grief and lament is what binds us together. We can go to a wedding, we can be bound together by joy and laughter, and we can go to a funeral and we can be bound together by sadness and sorrow and grief. The Old Testament character of Job, the man who loses everything, isn't necessarily a person to pity, because we at times, our lives, even though maybe not as extreme and not as long, but we at times, our lives can become very much like Job. And the truth be told, most of us, we would rather not be Job. I look in the scripture, and if I had to pick someone who I would like to be, I would probably pick a more triumphant character to identify with. I like Joshua in the Bible. If I could identify with anyone, Joshua is a great man of God, somebody that I look up to, somebody that I esteem highly. Perhaps maybe you look at David, and despite some significant sin in his life, he is still called in the scriptures as a man that's after God's own heart. Maybe out of humility, we would rather choose a less known character like Gideon, who God called a mighty man of valor as he was hiding from the enemy in a wine press. A little afraid, a little timid, but ultimately someone who rose to the challenge. Job tends to be the last person we want to align ourselves with and identify with, because Job means one thing, that is suffering. Too often, faith and suffering are linked in a cause and effect relationship. In some circles, suffering is seen as an effect caused by the lack of faith, or faith is the cause that gets us out of certain types of suffering. Or at the very least, faith reorients our perspective towards suffering. In either case, the implicit message is in the same. Faith is necessary to make it through those moments when our life is seemingly falling apart. But how do we know if we have enough faith to make it through the difficult, strenuous times in our life's journey as it unfolds before us? See, the truth is, we cannot know how wide or how deep our faith runs until our lives begin to fall apart. You will never know how much faith, Brother Hawk, that you have until you're faced with something that is utterly out of your control. It is only then that we discover how far, how wide, and how deep our faith in God actually goes. You see, we have every reason to place faith in a good and a loving God when our life is blessed. Many of us are blessed here tonight, blessed beyond what we should probably be blessed. And we have every reason to trust God when goodness, when our marriages are intimate and our bank accounts are flush and our health is good and our kids are doing well in school. Yet it's in these times that our faith is left untested. Those mountaintop or high places that we dwell in, it's easy to believe that God is in control when life is going along at a very good pace. It's when that glossy-like sheen of life rubs off our comfortable lives that we begin asking the question, and doubts creep in from the back of our minds when the medical bills begin to stack up. Feelings of abandonment gnaw at us when perhaps your child lies sick in a hospital bed, when the doctors declared that there's nothing else that they can do. They have done all that they can do. You see, it can feel as though our faith is too weak to sustain us. Job is often a good book to read, a good case to study for what it looks like to have faith during difficult times. When Job's wife just looks at him, and I don't know how long they had been married. They had a number of children. They all died. They lost everything but their home because they were still living in their home. And his wife, I could see as she comes out into the front yard as he's laying out in a pile of dirt, scraping with an old piece of pottery, as the scripture says, the sores and the boils on his skin. And his wife looks down at him and looks at him and says, "Honey, I love you, but enough is enough. Why don't you just curse God and die?" But you see, Job resists and counters his wife's advice with this very powerful yet stoic response. And he says, "Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" He said, "So is it only a good thing to be blessed? Or can we not only expect the good, but we can expect the trouble?" You see, this response is exalted as the faith necessary to withstand whatever suffering that God may choose to send us through. You see, this is unshakable faith, we're told. It's steadfast faith. We read about Job in the scriptures, and we have messages about Job, and they preach, and we teach and talk about his steadfast, unshakable faith, despite his circumstances. Despite his wife telling him to just curse God and die, it accepts an all life will through us, through the bad. We're going to accept, we're going to trust God through the bad, we're going to trust him through the joyous, the pain, the tragic parts and things and such that we go through in our lives. But if we were to look at Job more closely, a more closer reading of the book of Job reveals that it would be slothful to assert that faith is evidenced by Job's question, because he had questions about the acceptance of the situation that he was in. I don't think at times when we go through certain things in our lives and through certain struggles that it's wrong to question God. I've been told before, "Well, you don't question God." Well, Job questioned God. When we look at his faith was anything but stoic or passive. At times it was full of complaints. At times he was making accusations, demands, and he even had self-righteous boasts. But Job took the full brunt of his grief and his pain to the feet of God and demanded that God hear his complaint. We read in Job 30:20, "I cry out to you, God, but you don't answer. I stand up, but you merely look at me." In the tradition of the Psalms of Lament, Job's faith holds God responsible for his situation. But in light of this, then the question that we ought to ask isn't, "Do I have enough faith?" The question wasn't to ask Job on whether or not he had enough faith, but the question that should be asked in our lives, "Do I have the right kind of faith?" By that I mean, do I have the faith that brings all of who I am and all of what I'm going through to all of who God is? That's the kind of faith, church, that God desires to lead us into. Do I have the kind of faith that Job has, faith that doesn't curse God, but also faith that doesn't let God off the hook, because God says, "Try me, try me. Can I not do all of those things that I promised, Brother Kansky? I promised this church so many, many, many things. But I'm asking tonight, God, in my faith, I want to try my faith." You see, God is a God of sovereignty. He's an impotent God. God could have held back whatever he wanted to hold back. Tragedy could become immediately, or he can rescue us from whatever pain that he chooses to rescue us from. You see, God has not yet fulfilled his promise to rescue us. The promise that some of the promise that has made to use us in powerful, mighty, incredible ways has not yet appeared. Some of the healings and such that he has promised have not yet arrived. Everything that he promised to restore that is broken has not yet been restored, has not been made new. And the defeat of the enemy has not yet been defeated. But we have to understand something tonight, church, that God is responsible for that choice. We are not. So we must continue to push forward and continue to grow and continue to learn. And because of that, the only place that we could go with our complaint, perhaps God has promised a healing that has not come. Don't take your complaint to a brother or to a sister. Take your complaint, take your petition to God himself. You see, what that does is when we take a complaint, when Job complained about the situation that he was in, what that shows us about Job, that Job had an incredibly deep trust in God. He said, even though God slay me. What did he say? Even though God slay me, yet will I trust him. I pray daily, I pray sometimes hourly, God, help me to trust you, even if you desire to kill me. That's pretty powerful trust. That's where Job was. You see, without this trust, there would be no reason for us to even come to God at all. You might as well go to the doctor, might as well go to the faith healer, wherever you want to go. You see, our faith is the one who promises to wipe away every tear from every eye as God takes away whatever pain, whatever suffering, whatever injustice that we may have. Our faith is the one who laments with us, who knows betrayal, physical pain, and emotional anguish. Jesus gives us permission to cry out to him in the same manner. Sometimes we cry out to him far too less, and we seek other methods, and we place other methods of faith. We place our faith in other methods instead of our faith in God. You see, we have to have faith that will carry us through whatever situation that we're going to endure. God is desiring to take us to heights and to places that we've never been. I want us to stand tonight. I know it's early. I don't want to go any further because we have a Sunday morning's message. Our elder brother Caskey speaking Sunday evening on some of the same topics. But you see, I believe that God is desiring to take us on a journey in which we've never been. It may be frustrating to some. It may be extremely glorious for others. Some of us may be on a mountaintop when others are in a valley. I don't determine that. I don't determine what trial you're going to face next. And I don't determine what victory is coming your way yet tonight, or what blessing is coming your way tomorrow. You see, God is responsible for that choice. But I do know one thing about God. That just as God stepped in David's life, just as God stepped in Moses, Abraham, Gideon, Peter, Paul, just as God stepped in every individual that's mentioned in this book as an example for you and I. We could say what happened in their life. See, we can read what happened because we know the beginning from the end when we read about the stories found in the Word of God. But we don't know the beginning from the end in our lives because they're still being written. And I can say, what happened to Gideon as he was hiding in the wine press from the Midianites? I can tell you what happened. Brother Ben, God showed up. That's what happened. And as we sit here tonight and perhaps struggle in our hearts and in our minds as to where we're going in God, maybe you found your purpose, but you don't know where your purpose is applied. You will know. Because as you begin to discover where your purpose is and what God's will is for your life, God is going to show up. Bryce, your life's going to change. He's going to take us places that we've never been, the heights we've never seen. Because He's promised. And those that are willing to accept the promise and apply the faith that they have towards that promise, they're going to experience it. You see, Hebrews 11 is a powerful chapter because many of those never experienced that promise, Sister Jess. But they continued seeking after the promise. And if we can continue to seek after the promise, God will show up. I feel Him here tonight in such a powerful way. So, message on faith, you may think, well, Pastor, this is kind of a dreary start. But you see, we have to understand. We have to realize that God has called us. God has called us. He has called this church. And everyone here, no matter what you think of yourself, no matter how you look at yourself every morning when you get up in the mirror, God has called you for a purpose. God has a plan. God has desires. God says, I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. I want you to trust me. Because as your trust goes, so goes our faith. So we have some time tonight. I want to invite you down to the front. I want you to connect with God. I know this is a God message because I know some of you are struggling with things that you're having very difficult times with. But you see, that season in your life is about to change. Because you're going to say, what just happened? I'll tell you what happened. God is showing up.